This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
We're going to get in the Word this morning, amen. We're going to look at Daniel chapter 5. We're going to read from 5 to 6. Daniel chapter number 5 to 6. And it reads, it says, suddenly the finger of a human had appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his legs became weak and his knees were knocking. Talking about handwriting on the wall, it's a negative connotation. Now I want us to look at Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse number 3. Deuteronomy chapter 14, we're going to read a few verses. We won't read all the way to 21. It really goes to 21, but we'll just read a few. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse starting from verse number 3, says, thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. These are the beasts which ye shall eat, the ox, the sheep, and the goat, the art, and the roebuck, and the fallow deer, and the wild goat, and the pyragrab, and the wild ox, and the so on and so forth. Verse 6 says, and every beast that pareth the hoof and cleaveth the cleft into two claws, and so on and so on and so on. Now let's look at maybe about, let's look at maybe 15. Let's go to 15. So the, and then it starts to mention, it says, and the owl and the night and hawk and the, and it just keeps going and going. Let's continue to 16, telling you what you can eat versus what you cannot eat. Okay, and it's telling you the little owl, the great owl, and all of these things. Let's look at 17 and 18. It says, and the falcon and the, so it's pretty much going through all the things that you can eat and what you cannot eat. First of all, we've looked at, it's talking about handwriting on the wall. We looked at that in Daniel chapter 5. And then we're looking at Deuteronomy 14 from 3, telling you what you can eat and what you cannot eat. This is our same Bible. Now I want us to look at Acts chapter 10, verse 14. Acts chapter number 10, verse 14. Starting from 13, though, let's read 13 first. 13. It says, then a voice said to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Then a voice said to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Then 14 is Peter's response. It says, no, Lord. Peter answered, I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. This is Peter's response to Jesus. It says, no, Lord. Peter answered, I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. Then verse 15, the voice spoke to him a second time. Do not, somebody say do not. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Hallelujah. Now we're going to go into our true study today, which is taken from the letters to the Colossians, Colossians chapter 2, verse number 13. We're going to read from 13 through 22. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 through 22. And it says, And I'm reading from the American Standard Version. If you can, if you have that, you can pull that up, or NLT is fine as well. But I'm reading from the American Standard Version. It says, "And you, being dead through your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, you, I say, did he make alive?" Somebody say alive. "You did he make alive," meaning Jesus, "with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, having blotted out the bond writing in ordinance that was against us." Let's pause there for a moment. We read and we said that everything that has to do with, you know, handwriting of ordinance, we looked at the example of the king that was not living right, and there was a hand that appeared in the palace and was writing a handwriting that was pretty much against him. Was the handwriting was saying something about his death, and so he needed a prophet to come in. But here we are reading in Colossians that he has blotted out every handwriting of ordinance that was against us. My question that has been for the past several months is, what changed between then and now? What changed between the days of Daniel that he had to interpret this handwriting to the king versus now that the scriptures is saying to us that the handwriting that is on the wall, that is against us, that is contrary to us, he wiped it out. Not only did he wipe it out, let me tell you, when you write something on a blackboard, like back in the day, you write something on the blackboard where, you know, things were not so digital then, like we have now. But I want an illustration of a blackboard. When you have a blackboard and you write something on that blackboard and you erase it, you can still see the marks. It's not really erased like that. So I'm saying this to let you understand that there is a difference between wipe out and blot out. There is a difference between wiping something out and being still able to recognize it, your sins that you have committed in the past, someone being able to associate it with you. When it is blotted out, when we say blot out, it means there is no trace at all whatsoever. They cannot trace that crime to you ever. When the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ blotted out the handwriting of ordinance that was contrary to you, that was against you, that means in the court of law, it will stand against you. Evidence that will incriminate you. The Bible says he, with his blood, blotted it out. What is the difference between then, that king, and you now? I want you to say to yourself, Jesus is my game changer. Jesus, the Bible says he came into the world. And he bled, he shed his blood, and that blood wiped out, it blotted out every handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he hath taken it out that way, nailing it to the what? To the cross. Now let's continue reading. It says, having despoiled, again, I'm still reading from the American Standard Version. It says, having despoiled the principalities and powers. So not only did Christ, your game changer, blot out everything that they can hold against you, not only did he blot it out, the Bible is letting us understand that principalities and powers are here now. What authority, what power, what freedom you have compared to the old. It says, not only can they not lay any charge against you, because there's no evidence. I was just recently watching on Netflix, The People versus O.J. Simpson. And I remember then, because I was in high school when it happened, and the very famous line then, if it doesn't fit, you got to acquit. Oh, I'm talking about Johnny Crocker was smooth in the courtroom. He was smooth. He was suave. They had complaint against him. The only complaint they had against him was the fact that they said he argues like he's preaching, like he's a preacher. And he goes and he's like, if it doesn't fit, you got to acquit. If it doesn't fit, you got to acquit. There was not enough evidence to incriminate O.J. Simpson. And so the jury had to acquit him. And that is the way you need to look at when the devil, the Bible calls the devil the accuser of the brethren. So you need to see yourself in the judge, in the courtroom, and God that sent his only begotten son is the judge. And God and Satan, the Bible says he is the accuser of the brethren. That makes him the prosecutor. And so Jesus, your Savior, is your defender. And so when they are in the courtroom and the devil, the accuser of the brethren, is saying this, that, exhibit A, exhibit B, exhibit C, and Jesus stands up and say, if it doesn't fit, you got to acquit. Not enough evidence to incriminate you, to hold you to that old past, that old Abbey. There is not enough evidence to let them put you to death, because the power in the blood of Jesus, it didn't just wipe it away. The Bible says it blotted it out. Every word, every handwriting that was written against me, that was contrary to me, the Bible says he blotted it out. There is not enough evidence. There is not enough evidence to incriminate. Now, does it mean that O.J. Simpson didn't kill her? That is not the issue in the court of law. The court of law says you need enough evidence to incriminate innocent until proven guilty. Does that mean you didn't do it? That's not what the scripture is saying. The scripture is not saying you did not do it. But when they look at you, there is not enough evidence to incriminate you, because the blood of Jesus Christ. Some people are going to say, that's not fair. Pastor Ivy, it's not fair. What do you mean? How can you did the crime? You're going to have to pay for the crime. You did the crime. You got to do the time. You did the crime. You got to do the time. I did some crimes. You did some crimes. But and let me say him. I did some crimes. You did some crime. And the wages of sin is death. I did some crime. You did some crime. And the wages for O.J. Simpson was supposed to be life imprisonment. The wages of sin is death. I did some crime. You did some crime. The wages is death. But the Bible says, but the gift of God is eternal life. I didn't earn it. Oh. I didn't earn eternal life. I don't have what it takes to earn eternal life. I don't have it in me to be able to earn eternal life. But that's why I have a big brother. His name is Jesus. I have a big brother. His name is Jesus. Do you know when you were a child, you go outside, especially those neighborhoods where everybody's kind of friendly, everybody knows everybody. You go outside and you pick a fight, and you slap somebody and you run back inside. You slap somebody and you run back inside, and then they come knocking. You know what? I'm tired of you. I'm tired of your I'm gonna beat you today. And then they knock on the door, and your big brother with big muscles, he comes out, and the person sees your big brother with big muscles, and he said, nothing. 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 That is what Jesus did for us. We are not capable to be able to stand and say righteous. We are not capable to be able to stand and say not guilty of our own. But the Bible says with his blood, he blotted it out. I'm not talking about wipe out where they can still see the trace on a blackboard. I'm talking about blot out. I'm talking about his blood saturated the mess. His blood saturated your mess. His blood saturated my mess and blotted it out. Somebody say glory. Somebody say glory. It says, he and the powers, it says principalities and powers. The Bible says he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He is saying, how do you triumph? You make an open shame of principalities and power. Let me explain it to you first so that we can really now assess why people are still afraid of principalities and power. Somebody is the one behind. It's because of what I did. Behind. Which behind? The Bible said, and it's very clear. It says he made what? He made what? He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. What Jesus was doing is, if my baby brother or my baby sister cannot stand and fight because they don't have what it takes, they are in the natural, I will step in and I will fight the fight. I will step in and I will do the thing. I will make an open shame. My behavior, I'm the one being defended. My behavior is not up to par for them to say, no, acquitted, acquitted. But Jesus said, I am perfect. I am the one that can stand and fight this battle. So therefore, I will, before everybody, make an open shame out of those that want to accuse you. Who are they that wants to accuse God's elect? The Bible says he has blotted it out and he made an open shame. Wisdom is very important to success. Wisdom is very important to increase. Wisdom is very important to a life of freedom. Without wisdom, the Bible says, my people, not outside of people, not people that I don't know anything about, not people. The Bible says that he came to die for a group of people. We are the people. And yet he's saying, my people perish for lack of knowledge. You are afraid of principalities and power after the Bible said to you that your Lord Jesus, your big brother, made an open shame of them. He's not going to do it. It's not something that he needs to do. It's not something that he's going to do in the future. The Bible said he already made an open shame of them. And here you are, without knowledge, without understanding. You are afraid, and every time you fall, every time you scrape your knee, you want to associate it with somebody that is behind my problem. There's somebody in some place that's looking at me in a crystal glass, monitoring my spirit, and I'm wasting a whole lot of time talking about, instead of praying for lost souls, instead of praying that the gospel be ministered all over the world, you are in bondage in your room talking about every monitoring mirror. Father, shatter every monitoring mirror. Father, shatter. Wasting time. Jesus Christ already shattered it, my sister. The Bible says, Daddy, he made an open shame of them already. They have been defeated. But the reason why we don't know that is because we don't read our Bibles. Instead, we want to go and get a book that is saying, every monitoring spirit that's monitoring my life, Father, destroy, shatter. I used to do it too. When I didn't know, Pastor Ibe, I was notorious in shattering. I came up with, I remember there was 1 year in this 16 years, I said, church, okay, shatter, scatter. You know, I'm very good with sing song. Shatter, scatter. Everything, Humpty Dumpty, he fell. Same passion that I'm using now, I was using it wrong there. Shatter, scatter, everything, wasting time. If the blood of Jesus is not enough to shatter and scatter it, that is me that I'm going to now raise. You know, like I've watched some movies where they put a circle on the ground and they begin to, what is the word I'm using for? Bring up spirits, and they are raging spirits up because they need people to come and fight this battle with them. And what's the difference between them and us? We're just trying to use the name of Jesus. We want to prostitute the name of Jesus, and we're doing the exact same thing they're doing on the opposite side. I don't need to shatter or scatter anything. The Bible is letting me know that Jesus Christ made an open shame. So if I fall today, I fall. Like, you know, I scraped my leg, I lost my job, something happened. I don't have to associate it with anybody. Somebody will come and say, oh, it's because of your mother. She forgot to do something for you when you were born. So that is that it. That is making you, every job you get, you can never make past 50,000. So you have to fast for 7 days, and then something else, and then I lost my job. All things work together for good, for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. If I don't lose my $50,000 job, how can I get my $150,000 job? All things. Well, how about we look at it like that instead of associating it with the village? Can we just not associate it with the village for just a moment? Can we just look at it? It's a blessing in disguise, that it is a part of my walking it out. It's part of my journey. If I don't see any experience, how can I be strong to encourage my sister? I lost my job too. But look at me today. Hey. I was making $50,000. But now, if you refuse to leave the $50,000 job, you've held on to the $50,000 job with your teeth, and you refuse to let it go, your Lord that says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, they are thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. If you receive, you refuse, Sister Evelyn, to let go of the $50,000 job, he will grab you by the hand and say, let it go. I'm moving you forward. by fire, by thunder. Come on already. Everything don't have to be the village. It don't have to be somebody. Let it go. Understand that you are in Christ. You are triumphant in Christ. You are the one that the Bible says are the elect. He says that he already blotted it out. He's not going to do it again. What he's done is done forever. What he's done is permanent. It's good for yesterday. It's good for today. It will be good for tomorrow. He is the same God every day, all day. What he did does not doesn't need retopping. Every time, let us retop it. More anointing. What's more anointing? What kind of prayer is that? More anointing. You are already anointed for life. You are what? Anointed for life. I don't need any more anointing. My anointing is good enough. The blood of Jesus, it was relevant when he died. It's still relevant today. It'll be relevant tomorrow. So I don't need any more anointing. I'm already anointed. I don't need somebody to top it off. Do you know the ones that need topping off? I used to live in New York. And I was around a lot of Puerto Ricans who got their culture and their religion background from Africa. They have this thing that they do. It's called Santeria. And they literally, they have like a, I don't know, a rock, a shrine in their room. And they literally have palm oil. And every day, they have to top it off. Every day they gotta top it off. Every day they go there and top it off. Do you know the reason why we feel we need to do that? Because it is our background that we refuse to let go. When you are in Christ, you don't need to be like the pagans. You don't need any topping off. You don't have to top it off. You don't need new anointing. Oh, more anointing. I am anointed, period. I am anointed, period. All the people that have to top off today, top off tomorrow, when they still come before me, my anointing has been when I received Christ into my life. They want to stand against me with all their topping off. They will realize there is new every morning, new every morning, great is our faithfulness, oh Lord, great is thy faithfulness. The difference between them and I don't need topping off. It is potent enough. It is what? Potent enough. We're still going somewhere. Then it says, he made an open show, triumphant over them in it. It says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in the things to come. Oh, sorry. In respect of a feast day or a new moon or a Sabbath day, which are what? Shadow of things to come. Those things that were to come has come. Oh, his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. They observed all those things then because the Bible says it was shadow of the things to come. It says, but the body in Christ, let no man rob you of your prize. Let no man rob you of your prize by a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, dwelling in the things which he hath seen. A lot of people go by miracles. That's all. And if a miracle worker is coming to this city, people will not come to church. they're going to go to the miracle worker, because it's just, it's, you know, it's just they have to see something. Ah, blah, 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 blah. In fact, they don't care if it's magic. They don't want to know if it's doing abracadabra, four. They don't care. As long as they call it miracle, they want to go there. So the Bible is letting us understand now that we should not be only focused on what we see, worshiping of angels, dwelling in things which have seen vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head. That head meaning Christ Jesus, from whom all the body, being supplied and knit together through the joints and bands, increaseth with the increase of God. If ye died with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why hast thou, living in the world, do ye subject yourselves to ordinance? Handle not, eat not, touch not, rules that have nothing to do with Christ. You must understand that this, the time where they said all of those things, the Bible is making it clear that those were shadows of things to come. We are in Christ Jesus. And so that's why I showed you what Peter said. Even Peter, that walked with Jesus, did all of these things, was able to have intimacy with Jesus. Yet, they said, eat. And he said, I cannot eat. I've never eaten anything like that before. And Jesus had to bring him to correction that don't call what God has blessed unclean. Now, that scenario was to paint a picture that he wanted him to go and minister to Paul. Because if he didn't show him this way of talking, it's like a proverb, and they tell Peter, go and speak to Paul, Peter's going to be like, I am not going to do it. Do you know Paul? Paul the killer. He kills Christians. He is stopping the work of the gospel. I don't want to go and preach to him. I'm not going to preach to him. In fact, he said it. And that's how some of us, that's the form that some of us want to take. We want to determine who and who should receive the gospel. You are in no position because you did not die for anybody. You are in no position to determine who and who lives or die. You have no power or authority to pray that anyone should die. You cannot. You cannot, because God is in need of them. I'm talking about the witch or whoever in the village. Jesus loves them too. I said don't believe that they are the source. Remember I said that? They don't have the power. I want to say that again. Don't believe that they are the source of you lost your job and all kinds of stuff. They don't have the power to do it, because you are in Christ, seated far above principalities and power. On the flip side, you don't have the power to kill them. You don't have the authority or the power to be able to say, fall down. Die, everyone against my tell me some of those prayers. Every principality, no. They don't say principality. Sometimes they say principality. Somebody help me now. What are some of those prayers? Every person that is against my come on, somebody help me. Somebody help me. Every person against my progress, Father, fire, burn them. You did not die for them. You don't have that power to kill them. The Bible says that God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. It is not the desire for anybody to perish, including that person you are always praying against in the village. It is not up to you for them to die. God wants them to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And guess what? After all you thought they were doing to you, it just might be that it is you that wants to go to the village and say, "Mama, stop this thing. Burn them. I don't want you to burn. Burn them." It might just be you that God wants to use. Because once that person, that individual gives their life or receive Christ into them, they might be the one. Because you're not in the village. You're here. Praise God. They might be the one to change the entire village to Jesus Christ. That's what Christ would want. On my final note of that example, that it might be you that Jesus wants to use. We all know the famous Joyce Myers. For years, her biological father raped her. Every day. Years. He raped her. I'm not talking step. I'm not talking half. I'm talking biological. I'm saying the seed of his loins was Joyce Myers, and he raped her every day. This same Joyce Myers. Now, some of us will be so filled with rage and hurt. And once you leave that house, you want to get away as far as possible from this crazy bastard that raped you for years. And if you like, let him perish and have a heart attack and die. I don't care if he go to hell. I don't care. But it is the same Joyce Myers that was raped for years that led her father to Jesus Christ. It was the same Joyce Myers who now took the father and baptized him. The same Joyce Myers. So, on a final note, I want you to understand that the assignment that we have been placed upon us is not to destroy, but that we be equipped, first receiving it for ourselves. That way we're not afraid to go in their midst, understanding that they don't have power over us. Then we have the authority that has been given to us is to be able to preach to them that they may change and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is not God's desire for any to perish. Stand with me. It is not God's desire for any to perish. So on that note, I want us to pray. Lord, change my heart towards those that are against me. Use me to be able to touch them and turn them around to my Lord Jesus Christ, the one that saved me, the one that took me out of the miry clay and set my foot upon a solid rock, that they also may see and receive the love of Jesus Christ. Come on, say that in your heart. Because I know, and I confess to you that even I used to pray those prayers. And because I did not have knowledge, I did not have wisdom, and I did not have understanding. But now I stand to realize that it is not the desire of Jesus for any to perish. So say, "Lord, change my heart." After you ask the Lord to change your heart, I want you to say, "Lord, I thank you that you have made an open shame out of the devil, that he has no power over me. He has no power over my family. He has no power over my spouse. He has no power over my children. I give you praise and I give you glory. Thank you because I stand on the solid rock. I thank you, Lord, that I am in you and you are in me. Thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I condemn it because it can never come to pass. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise and we give you glory. For it is in Jesus' name we have prayed.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.